left off in the middle of the Gemara in Sukh, Mem Aleph Amar Aleph. The Gemara has a Braisa Tanya. The Braisa is commenting on the din of Parshas Boy. You're not permitted to eat the Kor Pesach if it's in a state of Mavushal. It has to be Kiyim Tzliyesh, has to be Tzli. So the Gemara has a Braisa. What if it's Tzoloi? First he brought the Kor Pesach, Vachach Bishloi. Or what if it's Bishloi Vachach Tzoloi? Is it good or no? Are no good. So the Gemara has a braisa. It learns that from the Pesukim, in both cases it's no good. So the Gemara is bothered with the kasha. Why is it no good? Bishleim, if it's Bishloi first, so it's a mavushal. The Korban Pesach is mavushal. But if it's Tzola first, v'achakach Bishloi, why shouldn't I say that it's Tzli? And I should say that the Bishol doesn't take any effect? We have a din in Bishol achat Bishol. So if the Korban Pesach is already Tzoloi, so why does the Bishul take effect? So the Gemara says, oh, that price goes like the Tana Rabbi Yosi. Gemara quotes, Machloikis HaTanaim Rabbi Rabbi Yosi L'Gabi Matzah, a different area, L'Gabi Matzah. So Rabbi Meir's opinion is, Yotzim Baraka Kashoroi Ube Mavushal Bavad Shaloni Boya. Rabbi Meir's opinion is that you give the Yotzim the mitzvah of Matzah, even if the Matzah is soaked in water, and it's very soft, it's very easy to eat it, you don't have to chew it at all. Soaked, shari is okay. And he holds that mavushal is also okay, even if you cooked it is okay. Provided that it didn't liquefy. If it liquefies, then it's no good. So we discussed yesterday the Rashi on Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. Rashi says, if you have a matzah that was himchei ubegoma, if you liquefy it, then you're not yotze, because it's not derech achila. Whatever that means, that's what we spoke about yesterday. So Rameir's opinion is that even a matzah mubashavas is also good. And Rabbi Yosi disagrees with Rabbi Yosi. Maskim with the first half of Rabbi Meir, Yotze Meraka Kashori, Avaloi b'mavushal, Avol Pishaloi Nimar. Rabbi Yosi says, once the matzah is mubashavas, so you're not Yotze. So the kasha is, but if ain't bishalach habishal, so the matzah was baked already, so I should say, ain't bishalach rafiyo, so what's the problem? So the bishal doesn't have any effect. So you see the Rabbi Yosi hold, the yesh bishalach rafiyo. So just like the old yesh bishalach rafiyo by the matzah, and that's why it's not good. So he would say the yesh bishalach atzliya, and if you have a korban pesach tzoloi lachka bishloi, you're not yotze with that korban pesach. It's possible you get malchus, and you're not yotze.
So why don't we say that for all matzah? Like if we say there is bishal after atzliya, then shouldn't we all be malchus?
No, there's bishalach. We didn't explain what's wrong with it. The Gemara leaves you hanging that there's bishalach rafiya, and therefore the matzah is no good. So why is it no good? Why is it puzzle? What's wrong? It's puzzle for the mitzvah. Why is it puzzle? So that's a machlekes, Rashi and Tosis. What's wrong? So Tosis explains the two birim. But before you get to what's wrong with the matzah mubashavas, the Gemara was asking, akor b'pesach shetzolav achkach bishloi. What about kera achkach bishloi? It's all already. So the answer, why should I say the bishul is chal? So the Gemara says no. Obviously, just like Rabbi Yosi holds yesh bishul acharafia by the matzah, so to this bray says Rabbi Yosi yesh bishul achatzliya. So even though the korban pesach is tzoloi, if you're going to cook it later, is yesh bishul achar. So if you have bishul by the korban pesach, you're not allowed to eat a korban pesach that's mevushal. Even though it's tzoloi and mevushal, you're not allowed to eat a korban pesach that's mevushal. That's a lav. Al techol men andor moshul mevushal mamayin. That we understand. So this Gemara is, we pass like Rabbi Yosi, so the Sefer Yireim learns from this Gemara that even though ain't bishul achat bishul, and ain't afiyah achar afiyah, and ain't tzli achat tzli on Shabbos, but yesh bishul achar afiyah, v'yesh afiyah achat bishul, yesh tzli achat bishul, and so on. That's how we pass, and that's the marker of that din. So the question is, by the Korban Pesach, there's a pasuk, atachol memenu bashal mevushal. If the Korban Pesach is batzol yam mevushal, you're not allowed to eat it because it's mevushal. But what's wrong with the matzah? What's wrong with the matzah mevushalas? You have to bake the matzah that it should have the status of a matzah. Okay. Once you bake it, then you cook it. So it's then aver to eat a matzah mevushalas. What's wrong? Why does he say you're not yotze? So that's the machlokes Rashi and Tosis. So Tosis says because it's matzah ashira. Because the Gemara learns that from the pasuk lechem oini, a lot of things. So one of the drushes of the Gemara lechem oini prat lematzah ashira. So the Gemara says prat lecholut va'ashisha. That's the Gemara on lamed vav on the base. The Gemara says if it's lechem oini, it has to be lechem oini. If it's matzah ashira, then it's no good. What's an example of matzah ashira? So the Gemara says, one example is if it's nilosh b'mei peiros. That's on daf lamed hay. If instead of kneading the flour with water, you knead it with flavored juice, so that's matzah shira, tastes too good. Another example is chalut. If the matzah is cooked, after being baked, then it's cooked chalut, that's an example of matzah shira. It's too soft. Teignesh. It's too soft teignesh. And then if it's hashisha, it's also called matzah shira. What's hashisha? Hashisha, the Gemara gives you a shir. Echad mishisha be'efo. Ah, gigantic, like a wedding cake. If you take so much flour, and you bake such a matzah, and it's so gigantic, it has up to so many kezesim in it, I never saw such a matzah. I don't see how it's conceivable to have. Echad mishisha be'efo? How much is an efo? If to multiply, how many kezesim? It must be 100 kezesim or something. A gigantic wedding cake. If you make the shal matzah, so that's no good. If it's too good, it's called matzah shir. So that's what Tosfos learns over here in Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. That if the din would have been that ain't bishal achar afiyah, so once the matzah was baked, even if you're mevashel, it's not called mevushelis, so it wouldn't be called, wouldn't be pasul. But because the din is that yesh bishal achar afiyah, so it's declared as a matzah mevushelis, the matzah mevushelis is no good because it's matzah shir. That's how Tosfos learns. Rashi does not learn like that. Rashi learns in this Gemara a fantastic mechudish dikepshat that if you so matzah shira is only possible for Leil HaSeder. All Pesach long the Pashtus is you're permitted to eat matzah shira. The Rambam has a shita. The Gemara says you shouldn't have matzah shira. Yoyim akama lo tolushali bechelva. The Gemara gives examples of matzah shira. We usually say if you're losh b'mei peiros, so that's called matzah shira. That's not exactly what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara on Lamed Vav and Aleph says if you're losh b'yayin shemet vash and cholov. The Gemara only mentions these four mashkin. The Gemara doesn't say on Lamed Vav and Aleph all mei peiros. So in Shulchan Aruch it's assumed that all mei peiros make it the matzah shira. That's the way we assume. The Rambam holds not so. The Rambam holds only these dalad mashkim. That's a deep, dark secret. Nobody understands why. Manishtana, why do you single out only Yain Shemit Vash and Cholov? Why are you only these dalad mashkim? So the Yavnei Nezer has a fantastic beer on this Rambam. Okay. Maybe we'll talk about it later. But not now. So Mashunadik has an Hilchas Chala. And his Chuvas in Hilchas Chala has a fantastic beer on the Rambam. So the Gemara says, You're not allowed to be losh the matzah with yain shem and vash and cholov. So the Gemara says that's only yom akamalot lushali bedufsha. The first day of Pesach, you can't be alach lushali bedufsha. For the rest of the days of Pesach, it is okay. So there's a machlokes. So Rishonim, how do you understand yom akama? What does it mean for the first day? So in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is yom akama. Rashi writes laila harishon shamatzah chayva bina lachamoni. The first night of the Seder, you need matzah shir is no good for the kezayis matzah. You want to eat matzah shir in the middle of the meal on Pesach night, isn't it? But it's no good to be yotze yidei chayvus hamitzah. For the kezayis matzah, for the koirah, for the afikoyman, you can't use matzah shir. That's the pashup shat and rashi. Then the Beis Yosef quotes, some other Rishonim say, yoyim akama means the whole laila harishon. The whole meal you shouldn't have matzah shir. And the Rambam translates yoyim akama literally. Rambam says, "Yom Kam, the whole first day of Pesach, you're not allowed to have matzah shir. Why is it not? But you're not yotzi any mitzvah when you eat matzah in the morning of Pesach." The Rambam says, "You have to have a zecher lelechem oni at psanudin. You shouldn't have matzah shir the whole first day. That's why there are those who are medaktik not to eat gebroks. Gebroks is mavushal, so that's matzah shira. So there are those who are medaktik not to eat gebroks the whole first 2 days of Pesach because of this Rambam. The Beis Halevi was machmer for that because the Rambam says." The Yosef points out this Rambam that the whole first day of Pesach you're not allowed to have matzah shira. And those who live in Chutz Lord have a sveka de yoyma. So the first 2 days of Pesach you shouldn't have gibrochs. No. And the rest of Pesach he was a big mesnage. So he was the mitzvah to eat gibrochs. The Gemara says that that ofui is not bole de chimutz. If I bake the matzah already and then I soak the matzah in water, so the Gemara says that it cannot become chametz. So the Chassidim came up with this new Chumrah in the 1700s that's only the holy matzahs that they used in the days of the Gemara because they were baked so well. But the matzahs that we baked with manazeh, maybe not so well baked, and maybe some of the dough in the middle of the matzah is still raw, And so right now, when I bake it, so I evaporated all of the moisture. So there's no liquid in the matzah. So it's not continuing to turn into chametz. But if I'll soak it in water later on, so then the raw flour or the raw dough that was never fully baked will be able to turn into chametz later on. So they came up with this chumrah that you're not allowed to eat kibroks on Pesach, because maybe our matzahs are not as well baked as the matzahs in the days of the Gemara. So of course, when they told Vilna Gaon about this, that the chassidim have such a minig, so he put a knedla in the window to show that he doesn't hold from it. That's what they quote on that Gemara in the men's. They quote on that Gemara. It's the Sefer Afike Yehuda, I think the name is, that the author of the Sefer writes in the introduction that his father was a Rav, and his father, they lived far away from Vilna, and he wanted his son to have the Hashpor from the Vilna Gaon. So he paid money, his father paid money to the Nachlas David, who had learned by Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that he should learn with his son. Nachlas David was older than the author of this Sefer, whatever his name is, I think he would, I forgot already. So he says that the Nachlas David knew how to learn better than me. Why? He says because he was brought up in a village that was closer to Vilna than I was. So the Hashpah, the influence of the Vilna Gaon was felt already. And I was brought up in a village that was further away from Vilna, so the influence of the Derech Alimut of the Vilna Gaon was not yet felt. So that's why he knew how to learn better than me. So my father hired him, he paid him money that he should learn with me. They were going to learn together for 6 years, he writes. We were going to learn 1 year Zerayim, and 1 year Moed, and 1 year Noshim, 1 year Nezik. So he says, after 3.5 years, Rav Chaim Volozhiner sent a letter to the Nachlas David. He needs him back in the yeshiva. She please come. And he came to the yeshiva. They started giving shiur during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So he's the one who writes this comment. He writes this story on the Gemara. He has one thin sefer on all of Shas. Oris on all of Shas. And then he tells you, what was the Derech Halimut of the Vilna Gaon that changed everything? How come the Nachlas David knew how to learn better? So he says, for many years, but the Chassidim is still good like this. For many years, they used to learn with young children, Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Haim with Magen Avraham, and Yeridei with the Shach and the Taz, before they learned the Gemaras. So how do you know what in the world they're talking about? So you have to imagine in your mind, they wouldn't look up all the Gemaras. You have to imagine in your mind what it probably says in the Gemara. So the people, their little children would imagine everything wrong. So then you have a Magen Avraham is giving you a whole pilpul on a Tosfos that you never saw. And the Shach is talking about a Gemara that you never saw, or a Tosfos or a Marsha that you never saw before. The Shach talks about Marshas. So the children didn't understand. So then after they got everything all wrong, then they started to learn Gemara later on. So it never straightened out. So he says the big chiddush of the Vilna Gaon was that first you learn Gemara with Tosfos, and then afterwards you go to learn the Shulchan Aruch. That was the big discovery, the big chiddush of the Vilna Gaon. By us, it's elementary. Everybody learns by that. You go minakala lakavet. First, you learn chumash. We don't always do like that. A lot of times, we teach Gemara before we know chumash. So taka no good. That's what the Vilna Gaon said. You got to go in the order that it says in the Mishnayos. First, you have to learn chumash. Then you have to learn Mishnayos. Then you have to learn Gemara. And then you learn Shulchan Aruch afterwards. After you know the Gemara. Anyways, in this sefer, Afik Yehuda, he's the one who quotes that story on the Gemara that it says that an offer is not bali dechimutz. So he quotes that when they told the Vilna Gaon, the Rav Chaim Volozhiner told the Vilna Gaon, the Chumra of the Chassidim, not the Ikebrox. So he didn't, he heard from the Chassidim, didn't hold from us. He put a Knedel in the window to show that he doesn't hold from the Chumra. So the Beis Halevi followed that tradition from the Vilna Gaon. It's a mitzvah to Ikebrox to show that the Chassidim are wrong, but not on the first 2 days of Pesach. The Lavni Taimayu, not Chalila for the reason of the Chassidim, that is Bolei Dechim, it's because of the Rambam. Because the Rambam says you're not allowed to have Matzah Shira the whole first day. Yeah. So Tosfos learns on this Gemara that a matzah mevusheles is not good because it's matzah shira. And there are different kinds of matzah shira, losh b'meiteres and so on. And the Rashi has a different shot. Rashi says the reason why matzah mevusheles is no good is because it loses the shem lechem. A matzah has to be, you see, we said, you see from the Gemara, that yesh bishalach ha-rafiyah, v'yesh ha-fiyah ha-bishal, v'yesh bishalach ha-tzliyah, yesh tzliyah ha-bishal, that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Shabbos when they rain. That's what you see from this Gemara. So Rashi says that's the first half of the story. But there's more to the story. When you do a bishul on the matzah, so the bishul is mevatel the afiyah. So it's considered as if this matzah never had an afiyah. When you do the bishul on the Korban Pesach, not just that you're over the Avera, but Tochel Memeno Boshem Avushal. the bishul is mevatuli affected at tzliya, because now the carbon pesach is mevushal, so it's not considered tzli. So not just that you're over the avera of eating it mevushal, you're not yotze the mitzvah either. The bishul undoes the tzliya. Whatever came second wins, and it undoes whatever form of bishul was done first. So if you're going to have tzolo, v'achakach bishlo. So the Gemara originally thought it didn't make any sense. Tzolo v'achakach bishlo, I should say in bishul achak bishul. So it's not called mevushal. So the Gemara says, no, based on Rabbi Yossi, the pshat is that the bishul following the tzliya undoes the tzliya. And you're not yotze, it's not called tzolui. Not just that you're yotze the mitzvah and you also even have air at the same time, because you're eating mevushal. It's not called tzolui. It's not tzoli. And the same by the matzah, Rashi learns pshat by the matzah, the bishul undoes the afiyah, so it's not called lechem. It's not called lechem, it's not called matzah. You're not yotze the mitzvah of matzah.
So I think you see that the tzliya would undo the bishul. If bishul undoes the
tzliya,
then the
tzliya
should undo the bishul.
Good kasha, I don't know. According to the way Rashi learns, Tosef does not learn like that. According to the way Rashi learns, that the bishul undoes the tzliya, so whatever comes second wins. So why shouldn't I say tzliya should undo the bishul? I don't know. It's a good tegasha. The Tosis wants to understand over here. So if it undoes the, let's say I have matzah afuya and I do bishul, so Rashi learns not only yesh bishul achar afiya. So what? So what's wrong? So the matzah is muvashala. So what's wrong? So Tosis says no. Matzah mevushalas is called matzah shira. Rashi does not interpret the Gemara like that. So Rashi has to come up with a reason. What's wrong with the matzah? Why is it possible? So he says, because the bishul undoes the afiyah. So what's wrong? So it undid the afiyah. And it doesn't have a shame lechem, and it's not called lechem oni. So Tosis adds on, based on what they interpreted in the Gemara earlier, there's a Gemara in Lamed Ches. There happens to be a Gemara in Baruchas, also happens to be on Daf Lamed Ches. Bimikre, it's on the same Daf. So the they're both on Lamed Zayin, not on Lamed Ches. It's in Brachas Lamed Zayin on the base, and it's in Sochem Lamed Zayin on the base, a long Tosfos. So Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam that in order to be chayv and chala, the pasuk says b'hoya b'cholchem ilechem ha'aretz. You want to be chayv and chala? Let's say I make wheatina farina. I'm cooking oatmeal cereal, something like that. Are you chayv in afrashas challah? It's chameshes minei dover, but it's not called lechem. That's what you're chayv b'chochem lechem haaretz. It's not called lechem. You don't say hamoitzi. It's not called, even if you eat a ton of oatmeal cereal, you don't say hamoitzi. It doesn't help kaveh suda. Kaveh suda and cake. Cake is pasah babikis, then it's pas, but it's a subcategory of lechem. So if you eat a ton of it, then you say hamoitzi. And you say Birchas HaMazon, but the oatmeal cereal, you can never become Amoitz. So you're not Marfish Chal. So the only time you Chayv HaChal has a Shem Lechem. So what has a Shem Lechem? So the Mishnah says it has to be Chameshes Minei Dogen. What else do you have to have? So the Rabbi Netam points out that there seems to be a contradiction between two Makaris. There's a Mishnah in Chala and there's a Gemara in Psochim. So he says the answer to the whole spirit of all the Gemaras is either Lisha or Afia. If you have either Blila Ovo, if you have a thick dough, when you make challahs, when you make bread, you have a very thick dough. When you make a cake, a lot of times a very thin batter. You have so much liquid that you beat it, and then you pour it. So that's a blila rak on the yod. There's a blila ova, and then there's a blila rak, and then there's a blila rak on the yod. So if you have it, the Rabbeinu Tam comes up with this fantastic idea, which we don't pass in Lalov. But Tosfos all over has this. All over Shas, they rely on this. You follow this Rabbi Natan. If you have a blila ovo, you made a thick dough, then it doesn't need an afia later on. If you do a bishul, it'll also be hamoitz. But if you have a blila rako, then you have to have an afia. So either blila ovo with a bishul, if you don't do a bishul, then it's not called lechem. If it's raw, it's not called lechem. So either blila ovo, which has some kind of a bishul, or a blila rako, which will require an afia. So Tosfos assumes that Rashi agrees with them. How did they get that info? Why should Rashi suffer because of Rabbi Natan? So Tosfos assumes that Rashi holds like that also. So Tosfos says, what does Rashi mean? That if you take a matzah and you cook it, you're not yotze because it doesn't have a din lechem. Why not? So Tosfos says, because when you do the bishul undoes the afiyah, and if there was no afiyah, it doesn't have a shame lechem, only provided that it's a blila raka. But if it would have been a blila ava, then the bishul following the afia would not passel the matzah. That's what Taisa says. But they're looking from their perspective. They're all like the rabbi in the town. And Taisa doesn't agree with the Rashi. Taisa thinks that the matzah mevashalah says no good because matzah shira. But you have to krich to give a hop shot. The bishul's mevatel afia and it was a blila raka. Therefore, it needs an afia. They say simply, matzah mevashalah is considered a matzah shira. This machlokes is negeta hamoitzi and negeta chiyuv chala as well. So the Rabbeinu Tam shita is that you say hamoitzi if it has a shem lechem. When does it have a shem lechem? So either if it had a blila ova, even if it had a bishul, or if you have a blila raka and you do an afia later on. Either one case or the other has a shem lechem. In Shulchan Aruch, the Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is not accepted, not quoted. Machaba doesn't quote the Rabbeinu Tam. Machaba paskins like the Ramban. The Ramban says it all depends on afia. There's no such thing. If you have a blila ova and you do a bishul, that is going to have a shem lechem. In Shulchan Aruch, with the accepted opinion, both in Yeridei Hilchas Chafroshes Chala and in Aruch Chaim in Hilchas Hamoitzi, the accepted opinion is the Ramban. The Shach in Yeridei recommends that one should be choshish for the Rabbeinu Tam shita. But if you did a blila ova, even though you're going to do a bishul, you should be machmet to be mafresh chala. So this brisa by Korban Pesach, that tzola v'achakach bishla v'achakach tzola is no good, is relevant to halacha l'maisa for us regarding the matzah. That's how the Gemara says. That brisa goes like Rabbi Yossi, who disagrees with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Yotze meraka kamavushal v'vat shaloni moyach, and Rabbi Yossi says, afal pi shaloni moyach. So this din by the Korban Pesach is relevant to halacha l'maisa for us. We have another din in Korban Pesach that's Nogeh Halacha Lamaise Bizman Hazeh. The Gemara has a Machlekes Hatanoim on Pei Vav and Aleph. There are two psukim in Chumash. One pasuk says they should be Zorek the Dam in Pesach Mitzrayim Al Abatim Ashiroch Lo'osa Bohem. So Al Habatim Ashiroch Lo'osa Bohem. You're reading one Korban Pesach and two batim? Is that what it means? That you can have 10 people join together? The Gemara said that every Korban Pesach had at least 10 shutfim. So you have, let's say, 10 shutfim in the Korban Pesach. But look, who is Shechena HaKoravela? Me and my next door neighbor. I don't want to eat with my next door neighbor. He has his wife and I have my wife. I want to eat separately. So we'll bring a Korban Pesach together. We'll divide it in half. And he'll eat his half and his bias. We'll eat our half and our bais. So that's how we pass the halacha. Pesach nechal b'shnei batim. However, ein ho'echal ochel b'shnei mekonis. Because it says b'bayis echad yei ochel. Seems to be a contradiction. On the one hand, the pasuk says all in parshas boy, and the mishmos perik yud beis. On the one hand, it says b'bayis echad yei ochel. You have to eat the whole korban pesach in one bayis. On the other hand, it says alat batim ashiochlo oso b'hem. You could have said, Alabatim, all of the homes where the Jews will eat the Korban Pesach, each one will eat his own Korban Pesach. So this Tana, we pass like Rabbi Yossi. Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it says, Alabatim, Shochel, Osa Bohem, Alam, Shat Pesach, Nechal, Bishtei Batim. You can eat one Korban Pesach, you can divide it in half and eat in two places. And the other Pesach that says, Bebai Sechel, Yeyachel, that means, Ein Ha'echel, Oechel, Bishnei Mekon. Once you started eating here, you can't eat in a different location. And Reb Shimon disagrees. He says everything fakir. That the one person can eat in two different places. But you cannot divide one Korban Pesach into two chaburas. One Korban Pesach has to be eaten by one chabur. So the Gemara says that we pass like Reb Yehuda. So the Mishnah at the end of Psochim has the din. Ein maftir nach ha-Pesach. What does that mean? So the Gemara has a machlokes. Rabbi Shmuel. So Shmuel's opinion is the accepted opinion over here. Shmuel says, not allowed to eat dessert after the Korban Pesach. Kadei sheyehei tam pesach lefi, for whatever reason that is. Kadei sheyehei tam pesach lefi. And Rav learns, ein maftir nachem pesach hatikomim means you're not allowed to eat b'shnei mekomis. If you start eating the korban pesach here, ein hayach lo'echol b'shnei mekomis, you're not allowed to eat some more korban pesach in another place. So we assume la'alocha like that. We accept both, Rav and Shmuel. We hold the, you're not allowed to eat, let's say, the afikomen. You started to eat the afikomen in one place, then you're going to finish eating the afikomen in another place. So we treat the afikomen as if it's a zechel of korban pesach. So once you started to eat the korban pesach in one place, ain't ha'echel ha'echel b'shnei mekomis. So there's a mishnah on kuf chaf amin aleph, on the last line on the daf. The mishnah has a discussion. Let's say all the people are sitting and eating. They started to eat the korban pesach. And they all fell asleep in the middle. An old age home. And everybody fell asleep in the middle. Sure. So it says, if Yashnamik saw some of them fell asleep and the others are still awake, so when they wake up, they can continue eating. But if Yashnukulam, if everybody fell asleep at the table, then lo yochla, they're not permitted to eat, continue to eat the Korban Pesach. And then the Rishonim assume that the din applies bizmanazah, also carries over bizmanazah, that once you start eating the afikomen, if they fell asleep in the middle of the meal, it's no problem. Once you start eating the afikomen, we treat the afikomen as if it's a zechel pesach. So if everybody fell asleep in the middle of eating the afikomen, then lo yochle, then they're not allowed to continue to eat the afikomen when they wake up. Rav Soloveitchik told us that this used to be in his father's village, where he was grown up, brought up as a child. This was the most often asked challah, alel haseder, that they had elderly people. And they'd fall asleep in the middle of the meal. So they'd come to ask the shayla whether they're allowed to eat or not. He said something very strange, that his father used to rush through the whole agada quickly, and then he used to take a nap after finishing the whole seder, because he was drinking wine. So shikra is not allowed to pass in any shaylas unless he took a nap. His father would run through the whole agada, finish everything, then take a nap at the end, because he knew that balabatim would have shaylas on Pesach night. You're not allowed to pass in if you're tipsy. And the most often asked shayla was this shayla, he said, that the elderly people would fall asleep in the middle. So the din depends whether they started eating the afikomen or they didn't start eating the afikomen. What's wrong if Yoshnu Kulam? What's wrong if everybody fell asleep in the middle of eating the Korban Pesach? Forget about afikomen. What's wrong if everybody fell asleep in the middle of eating the Korban Pesach? Why are you not permitted to continue eating? So there's a machlekes harishayim, what's wrong? So Rav Soloveitchik always enjoyed saying over the Rambam's pshat. He always ignored the Rashbam. He always said over the Rashi and the Rashbam say one pshat, and the Rambam has a different pshat. The Rambam has the pshat because Korban Pesach is a korban, and all korbanos require shmira. The pasuk says mishmeras trumaisai. You have to be careful with respect to the truma. Number one, it shouldn't become tamei. Number two, it shouldn't become nifsa. You're not allowed to throw out truma that's edible. That's roi lachilas hakohanim. Not allowed to burn truma, not allowed to destroy truma, unless it became tummy, unless it's inedible. And not allowed to cause it to become tummy. So that pasuk, Mishmeres Trumaisai, in the Chumash, the pasuk is only written in connection with the matzah. But Rashi writes in Chulin, on the first daf in Chulin, that the pasuk, Mishmeres Trumaisai, applies to kachim with a kalvachayim. If there's a din of Mishmeres by truma, there's certainly more so that there should be a din of Mishmeres by korbanos. So the Gemara has a din earlier in Pesachim in the Lamas. There's a psul of Hesach Hadas. Let's say I leave a piece of meat on the table. Let's say I want to eat dinner, and then I didn't daven Ma'ariv yet. So I leave the dinner on the table, I run home, I run to shul, I daven Ma'ariv, and I come back, let's say 45 minutes later, and the food is still there on the table. Maybe an Adam Tommy came in. So if the door is locked and the windows are locked and it's not shut, then anybody came in, so there's no problem. But if it's possible, then maybe an Adam Tommy came in and was metame the carbon, Fadmin Yerushalayim, let's say, eating in the middle of eating a carbon, a truma. So the Gemara has a din, the Hesach Hadas, Pasul Kachin. It's a psul tuma because of the chashash of tuma. The Gemara has a machlekes, whether it's a psul b'taras safek only or psul b'taras vaday. Because there was a lack of mishmeres, and therefore maybe it has a psul b'taras vaday. Machlekes aviyachan veish lokish. So the Rambam learns that that's what's going on over here. If Yoshnu mitzah some, if they're in the middle of eating the Korban Pesach, and Mizman is that we treat the eating of the Afikomen as if we're reenacting the eating of the Korban Pesach. So if you have a whole group of people, some of them fell asleep, but the others are awake, so there's no psul of Hesach Hadas on anybody's Korban Pesach, because those who are awake are watching and they see that an Adam Tommy didn't come around, or no animal came and brought a dead sheretz to me, the Tommy. But if Yosh Nekulam, if everybody went away, if everybody went to sleep, then there's a psul of Hesar Hadas, so you're not allowed to continue eating. It's a fascinating pshat. Rashi and the Rashbam do not learn like that. Rashi and the Rashbam learn based on this din of Rav Yehuda. Ein ha'echel achal b'shnei mekaymus. So, just like there's a din, you're not permitted to eat b'shnei mekaymus, so too, if everybody fell asleep, that's considered as if you're eating b'shnei mekaymus. Why is that considered as if you're eating b'shnei mekaymus? So I think the pashtus probably is like this. We have a din de rabbanon that may shed light on this din de rais. We have a din de rabbanon also on Arab Pesachim, that if a person is eating food in this room and then he walks out and he wants to continue eating food in the hallway, or he walks out and he comes back and he wants to continue eating over here, so there's a din shina makom tzarech levar. If you switched your location and you come back and you want to continue eating over there, then you have to say another bracha. Unless you ate a kazayis pas. If you ate a kazayis pas and you have to bench bracha achrayna b'mkoyim, you have to recite birchas hamazon in this location, so then shina makom does not require a new bracha. It's considered all the hemshech of the original achila. But if you didn't have pas, you didn't have davar adam bracha le'achro b'mkoyim, are you eating vegetables? Are you eating fruits or something? Are you drinking a cup of tea? Then you walk away, and then you come back, then you have to say another brach. Unless it's mecheda lecheda b'osa b'ayis, and you had a mind. You had a mind to go. Or it's mipina lepina b'cheda rechot, from one end of the room to the other end of the room, that's not called shinemach. Mecheda lecheda b'osa b'ayis, if you had kavana, then it's called the same mach. But otherwise, there is a din derabanan, you have to say a new brach. What kind of a din is that? It means that each achila needs a new brach. If I'm sitting and eating, I continue to eat forever, for hours and hours on end. That's all the hemshech of one achil, even though the last achil is not tech, the achil is pras. If the first achil is 5 hours later, that's all the hemshech of achil. But if he's going to have a shinimokom, so then shinimokom is considered a new achil. Or if a person is eating here, no shinimokom, he falls asleep when he has a hesar hadas. And then he wakes up and he wants to continue eating. So that's also a new achil. Kolzman does not hesach hadas, so whatever he continues to eat is called the hemshech of the first achila, even though it's not toch the achilas pras. But if he falls asleep in the middle, or he has hesach hadas, doesn't fall asleep. He's doing work, he's reading, learning, whatever, doing homework, and then 2 hours later he decides he wants to continue eating. But he had a long hesach hadas. It's not that he's holding the food in his hand, not holding the sandwich, and doing something else at the same time, and he pauses for half an hour. He forgot all about it. Hesach hadas. Hesach hadas requires a new bracha. So called the Tikkun Rabbanan came the Raisa Tikkun. Usually, Ruba the Ruba of the cases, the Din of the Rabbanan were patterned after a Din Deraisa. Where do you have a Din Deraisa that if you have a Shina Mokum, it's called the new Achila, and if you ate in the same place, it's called the Hemshech of the same Achila, and that's not Turk the Achila's Pras. So that's the way we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. This Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon on Pevav and Aleph. We pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. Ein ho'echel ho'echel b'shnei mekums. A Pesach nechal b'shnei batim. Al abatim m'sheoch lo osibohem. A Pesach nechal b'shnei chaburis. You can have 10 people join in one Korban Pesach, then divide it in half. And they'll eat this half of the Korban Pesach in their home. We'll eat this half of the Korban Pesach in our home. That's okay. But ein ho'echel ho'echel b'shnei mekumis. Why? So l'chor, that's the din of Rabbi Yehuda. That we only allow each person to have one achila from the Korban Pesach. I mean, not allowed to eat more than a kazayis? The answer is no. Whatever you continue to eat, if it's in the same makam, if there's no shina makam, then it's called one long achila, even though the last kazayis that you're eating is not tekud achilas pras of the first kazayis. But once you have a shina makam, or once you have a hesach hadas, if you're yoshna kulam, then it's a hesach hadas, then it's called the new achila. That din taka appears by shina makam also, miktsasa. Let's say they have a group of people eating. Nobody ate bread. Nobody washed for bread. We're all having having a party with vegetables and fruits and drinks. Not even mezainis. Mezainis is a shaila where there's tom brocha le'achra b'mkoma. Two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's say we're not even having mezainis. And then some of the people have to go daven in shul. And we already daven mincha. So we're going to stay and eat. And the half of the people go to shul and they come back half an hour later. They want to continue eating. So they made a shinimakam. So do they have to say a new bracha or not? So the Gemara says, if we were eating a whole chabura together, and some of them left, and some of them remained behind, so even when they come back, since some of them remained behind, so it's not called a shinimakam even for the others. So that's the same over here. By Yashnu Kulam Yashnu Miktsasam. As long as some of the people are still remaining behind, and it's all part of the big Chabura, so it's not called the new Achila, even for those who fell asleep in the middle, even though they had a Hesach Hadas. Because originally there was one whole Chabura. So the Shini Mokum for the Miktsas doesn't pose a problem for the others.
Isn't the same if all the men went to Davin Mikar and all the women and the male and the men are going to come back? Would that be considered a Chabura?
Yeah, I think so. If they're eating, some Hasidim eat the men and the women eat in two different rooms. If they're misnag them and they're eating together, by the Korban Pesach it says men and the women ate together. It says Beferish and the Mishnah. Men and the women ate together. Just they say the women are sometimes embarrassed to eat in public. The girl just got married, the Mishnah talks, so sometimes she'll turn away, she'll turn her back away to the other group, but they're all sitting at the same table, the Mishnah says. Mishnahs have that the men and the women are eating at the same table. Yeah. That's how Soloveitchik used to joke about that. What do you mean? They introduced a new thing that they have separate seating by the weddings. What do they do with Zman HaMikdash? Says they ate the Korban Pesach all together. They never had separate seating by Korban Pesach. The Ferish and Mishnahs. Yeah, aim after and yes. Yeah, so we apply these dinam as manazeh yashnu miksasim yashnu kulam. All the dinam apply as manazeh because we treat the achilas afikaymen as if it's a zecher le korban pesach, as if we're eating the korban pesach. And the same thing aim after and achar pesach afikaymen. So the gemara says that it applies on mashmuel aim after and achar matzah afikaymen as manazeh. The din applies to the afikaymen. After you finish eating the afikaymen, you're not allowed to eat any dessert afterwards. Because the afikoma that we eat at the end of the meal is a zechel of carbon pesa. In the Sefer Shibboleth HaLekut, he quotes a tshuva from the Gaonim, which I do not understand. He says that that's only the first night of Pesach, the afikoma is a zechel of carbon pesa. The second night is only Svek of the Yoma, so the second night, the afikoma does not represent the carbon pesa. So you may eat dessert after the afikoma at the end. So if the second night is not Svek of the Yoma on this, there's no Sveka de Yoyma on the Afikaymen, so why do you eat the Afikaymen at all? What about the din of Yashnu Kulam, Yashnu Miktsasam? Also doesn't apply Bizman Azeb. I don't understand. That's what the Sveka Yoyma is all about. Sveka Yoyma treated as if you have to eat a carbon pesach. You have to have the whole Seder. So I didn't cap what he was driving at. We spoke about the last Mishnah in Pesachim yesterday. The Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel works on the premise, that's what Tosfos quotes from Yerushalmi, that if you have an Iker and a Tochel, the Bachli doesn't explain well enough. Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi to fill in the missing line. That the din is that if you eat in Bichas Hanen, if you're eating two foods together, one is an Iker, one is a Tochel, so you recite the Bracha on the Iker, and there's no need to recite the Bracha on the Tochel. So Rabbi Shmuel carries over that din to Birchas HaMitzvahs as well. If you're performing two mitzvahs together, you only recite a bracha on the Iker, and there's no need to recite the bracha on the Tefillah. So then it's a machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel. Do you treat the Chagigas Arba'asa with the Korban Pesach, do you treat them as Iker and Tefillah or not? That's how the Gemara seems to say. So do we ever have a case of Iker and Tefillah? So we pass like Rabbi Akiva. We pass like Rabbi Akiva. Lo zupa teresh ol zub, lo zupa teresh zub. So one could be, so the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva holds that they're not Iker and Tefillah. One could have said, the other maybe he agrees with Rabbi Shmuel that it is Iker and Tefillah, but the whole din of Iker and Tefillah only applies to Birchas HaNenem. Maybe it doesn't carry over to Birchas HaMitzvah. So the Rishonim say no. Rabbi Akiva agrees with the premise of Rabbi Shmuel that there is a principle of Iker and Tefillah and mitzvahs as well. And in other cases where you're doing two mitzvahs and one is an Iker, one is a Tefillah, Yitaka don't say a brach on the Tefillah. Over here he disagrees, he holds that this is not a Tefillah. Where do you have any other case? Where do you have in Kol HaTarkul a case when you're doing two mitzvahs, one is a Nika, one is a Tefillah, you only say a bracha Nika, you don't say a bracha and a Tefillah. Where do you have a case like that? So a lot of Rishonim say that regarding Charoses. There is a Machlokes HaTanaim, what is Charoses supposed to represent? So Rav Lezer Rav Tzadik is quoted in the Mishnah. He says that Charoses is a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah min HaTorah. That's the bottom line on Kuf Yudalad min Aleph. Rav Lezer Rav Tzadik, I'm a mitzvah. The Tanakhama says, you bring charoses afal pishen charoses mitzvah, even though it's not a mitzvah. So why do you need charoses? If it's not a mitzvah, what do you need it for? So the Gemara says, for health reasons. Because there may be a worm in your maror, the worms that we find in Amor are non-kosher worms. There are kosher worms and there are non-kosher worms. If you have a hashgacha, it's a kosher worm. So if you have kosher worms, you're permitted to eat it, but it's unhealthy if it's alive. It's going to be crawling around in your kishkas. It's not healthy. So the Gemara says, dip the mor into haroisis. The haroisis has the power to kill a worm. Either you drown the worm, or the worm will die from smelling the sharp reyach of the haroisis. And then it'll be a dead worm. It's kosher worm, dead worm. So then there's no health problem. If you have mor that's worm-free, so you don't need haroisis. According to the first opinion of Mishnah, haroisis is not a mitzvah. It's only mishum kippah, only because of the worm. The kippah is the worm. And Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadok says, no, it's not for health purposes. Maybe it is for health purposes also, but it's a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah in Atar, it's a mitzvah in the Rabbana. What kind of a mitzvah in the Rabbana? So there are three opinions in the Gemara. The Bavli has two opinions, and Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi has a third opinion, a kuf design of an al. The one opinion in Bavli is, my mitzvah, Ablei v'yamet zecha l'tapuach. The pasuk says, tachas ha-tapuach ha-raticha. So we want to make a zecher to tapuach, so you make charoses. So charoses has to have tapuchim. That's where usually the women always make, they grind up apples to make charoses, because they think that tapuach means an apple. The Gemara is muchach that tapuach does not mean an apple. Places in the end of Tanya's writes, tapuach means a citrus fruit. And it's muchach from the Gemara here also. The Gemara says, we should try to satisfy both opinions. So the Gemara, Amar Abay Hilkach, since the two opinions, what the Charoisis is all about, according to Rabbi Elazar Tzadok, so he says, Tzorach lekehuyeh, it should have a sharp acidic flavor, that it should be a zecher letapuach. Apples don't have an acidic flavor. So it means a citrus fruit. You should have some orange juice, or lemon juice, if you enjoy lemon juice. Have orange juice, or grapefruit juice inside. Tapuach means an orange, a citrus fruit. So the first opinion, Rabbi Levi says that the Rabbi Elazar Tzadok's mitzvah, Charoisis mitzvah, the Rabban, a zecher letapuach. Rabbi Yechanan disagrees and he says zecher letit. What's zecher letit? So Abai says tzoch l'smuche, it should be very thick. It should be very thick, reminiscent of the cement that the Jewish people had to use to build all of those pyramids in Egypt. Right? And Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Amar that it's zecher ledam, that the Mitzrim spilled so much Jewish blood, so we make a zecher to all the Jewish blood that was spilled, and we pour in red wine into the charoset. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. They quote, we want to satisfy all the three opinions. So you put in tapuchim, tzorach lekehuyeh, should have a sharp flavor, like the orange has a spunky flavor to it. And then it should be very thick. And then before you dip in the haroses, you should pour in a lot of red wine, unless you live in a Medina where there's alila sadam. So then it says you don't pour in red wine. But if there's no problem of alila sadam, so then you should pour in red wine, zechel adam, and then you should dip in the haroses. So there's a question whether we pass like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok or not. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, we obviously do not pass like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. If his opinion would have been accepted, if it's a mitzvah, he would have recited a brichas mitzvah. Asher kirishonu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al achilus haroses. So the fact that we don't recite our bracha is an indication his opinion was not accepted. Haroses is not a mitzvah. So if you have clean gush katif lettuce, if you have lettuce that has no bug-free lettuce, so you don't eat charoses b'chol. So you can dispense with the whole charoses. That's the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rambam holds a concept of Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. One would have recited a bracha, since no Haggadah has a bracha, is a rai brewer that nobody passes like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. Then you look in the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, he writes not so. He says, we pass like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, charoses is a mitzvah, and no bracha is recited over the charoses. So the Lecha Mishnah points out that it's a double contradiction between the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. In the Pirush HaMishnayos he says we don't pass like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, and the Mishnah Torah says we do pass like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, that it is a mitzvah. In the Pirush HaMishnayos he claims that according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok one would have recited a bracha. In the Mishnah Torah he seems to assume that he's beferish that no bracha is recited. So Shaila Taka, why not? If it's a mitzvah, why is no bracha recited? So here, the tour and a group of other Rishonim, these late Rishonim, like the Tkufa, not the early Rishonim, the late Rishonim, like the two, they all say the same shot. What you have here is an Iker and a Tofel. The Iker is the mitzvah of Achilas Moror. The Rambam holds that you dip in the matzah also into the charoses. The Rambam holds that you dip in the karpas into the charoses. Tosfos makes fun of it. Tosfos says, those wild people, they dip in the karpas into the charoses. It's utterly ridiculous. You're only supposed to dip in the mor into the haroses to kill a worm. You don't dip in the matzah, you don't dip in the carpets. That's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam has a problem. It says, Rambam writes that you dip in the matzah into the haresis, you dip in the mor into the haresis, and you dip in the karpas into the haresis. So it's three times. The Rambam seems to hold that karpas is a mitzvah sachilim in the rabbanon. The Rambam writes that when you eat karpas, you have to eat a kazayis. Well, you have to have a kazayis. The whole purpose of the karpas, the Gemara says, is only kadesh yishalu atinoikas. You do wild things to keep the children's attention. So why should you need a kazayis? So the Haglos Mamini on the bottom of the Rambam quotes the Maharam Rutenberg, who thinks that it must be a misprint. It's a mistake. Why should the Rambam require that she need a kazayis of a karpas? Number one, does make sense. Number two, he says, when the Rambam writes that she need maror, he doesn't write that she need a kazayis. The Mishnah says you need a kazayis. Mishnah Lama Tess says you have to eat a kazayis of maror. So the Haglos Mamini quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg that he thinks that line of the Rambam is a misprint. It belongs later. It says when you eat karpas, you should eat a kazayis. It shouldn't say there. It should say that line should appear later, five lines later in the Rambam. When you eat the maror, you should eat a kazayis of maror. But we don't have any kisvei yad of the Rambam that have like that. All the kisvei yad have that yid a kazayis of karpas. So the Pashto says the Rambam seems to hold that whatever motivated the Chachamim to introduce achilas karpas, the Gemara says they were motivated kadeshi yishalu hatinoikais. But once they introduce karpas, so they introduce it as a mitzvah sachila. Once it's a mitzvah sachila, you got to have kazayis. The Rambam quotes in another place that you need a kazayis of maror. He doesn't have to write it twice. So the Rambam seems to hold that for all the mitzvah sachila, you have to dip into haroses. Because haroses is a mitzvah. If you dip in everything into haroses, you dip in the matzah, you dip in the maror, you dip in even the karpas, which is only a mitzvah sachila in the Rambam, you dip in. The Rambam doesn't have, however, that you should dip in the Korban Pesach into Haroset. That's the main mitzvah sachila. So apparently the Rambam holds that the Korban Pesach is eaten alone. Korban Pesach is so delicious, they're not supposed to dip it into anything else. The Rambam holds, the Gemara quoted the Machlokes Hatana and Hillel in the Chachamim on Daf Kuf Tezvav Menal. How is one supposed to fulfill the mitzvah matzis merom yochluhu? So Hillel says you eat everything all together, and the Chachamim disagree, you have to eat separately. If you eat it together, you're not yoitz. Then there's a third sheet that's the Rambam Paschal, that was his Girsa in the Gemara. There's a third sheet that it's optional. If you want, you can eat all together. If you want, you can eat separately. So when Hillel says you should eat it all together, what did he eat together? So our Girsa in the Haggadah says, Hayakarech Pesach Matzah Umarar. He ate everything all together. That's what it says, Beferish and Yerushalmi and Challah. The Achrayim point out. Says explicitly the Hillel ate all three altogether, Pesach, Matzah, Umaror. That's how the Rishonim all assume. And the Rambam says not so. The Rambam says Hillel never ate Pesach, Matzah, Umaror. Pesach he always eats separately. The Matzah and the Maror, that's the machlek, is to eat the Matzah and the Maror together? Or should you eat the Matzah and the Maror dafke separately? Because if you eat it together, you won't be yotzei. Or do you say that it's optional? If you want, you can eat it separately. If you want, you can eat it together. So the Rambam has this unusual opinion. Korban Pesach is eaten alone. Even according to Hillel, that you eat Hayochel B'yachad, you don't eat the Korban Pesach together with the matzah and the maror. And mainly when it comes to the Haroses is a mitzvah in the Rabbanon. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, what's the mitzvah? To dip in all the mitzvahs achila, to dip in the matzah, to dip in the maror, to dip in the karpas, but not to dip in the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach stands alone. Okay? The Rambam's unusual opinion. So the Ptur and the other Rishonim from that Kufa, they all say, Why don't we recite a bracha when we have charoses? So they say because you're doing two mitzvahs at the same time. The charoses is zeichel adam, zeichel tapur, zeichel tit, whatever. It's a mitzvah mid rabbana, and then you're doing the mitzvah of achilas moror, mitzvah achilas moror b'zman hazeh zoni mid rabbana. But according to the Rambam, we're supposed to dip the matzah into charoses also. So they say since you say a bracha on the matzah, you're saying a bracha on the moror. So what you have here is an ikar and a tofil. The mitzvah of matzah is more important than the mitzvah of charoses. So therefore, the bracha is only recited on the ikar, and there's no bracha recited on the tofil.
Is the mitzvah to
eat or to dip it into? So the Gemara says when you dip it into the charoses, you should shake off the charoses. Shouldn't a lot of people pile on a whole ton of charoses on top of the maror? So the Gemara says that that's not proper. You have to shake off all the charoses. You're not supposed to eat it together. That's another issue. The Pashto says that it doesn't stand as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma at all. It's not a mitzvah of achilas charoses. Pashto says you only dip in, it's a way to fulfill the mitzvah of maror. According to the Rambam, a way to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. But then we understand why it's a nikum and a tofel. But the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah is who says that you do say a bracha. The Rambam writes there, "Koinker Ablozim and Absorg, there would have been a bracha shekadeshan de metzos and tzivano al achidos charoises." He doesn't say litvol es hamora b'charoises. He says al achidos charoises. And he says, from the fact that no Haggadah has that bracha, is that right? We don't pass like Rabbi Lezmer Abtzarek. So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah sounds like he assumes a point of Rabbi Lezmer Abtzarek. In addition to dipping the mora into the charoises, there's also a separate mitzvah to eat a kazayis charoises. That's what it sounds like. Then there's such a line in the Mordechai. Mordechai has a kasha on the last page in the Mordechai, page 76. So, and then, oh, you don't have the Mordechai. The very last page on the first column. So the Mordechai quotes a kasha from the Rishonim. The Mordechai is assuming that according to Hill, you eat all three together. Pesach, Matzah, Umara. Not like the Rambam's Girsa. That he only ate the Matzah and the Umara together. And the Pesach stands alone. So he's bothered with a kasha. How can you swallow Pesach, Matzah, Umara? The Gemara says in Chulin, Ein beis habliya machzak yoyseh mikibetza. You can't swallow if you have too big a chunk of food. Your mother told you always chew before you swallow. If you're going to not chew, then you're going to choke. So how big can the pieces be and you won't choke? So the Gemara says, the Beis Habli is only Machzik Kebeitza. It can't hold more than a Kebeitza. So many Rishonim say, a Kazayis is a Chatzi Beitza. Some Rishonim say, Kazayis is a Shlish Beitza. But if one works on the assumption, he's working on the assumption. A Kazayis is a Chatzi Beitza. You have to have a Kazayis of Pesach, Kazayis of Matzah, Kazayis of Mor, so you have more than a Kebeitza. So how can he say that you eat it together? So the Magen Avraham quotes the Chumash Adeshin. Together, eat a turkey de achilas pras. Let's say you have to eat a kazayis of matzah. You have to swallow the whole matzah bevasachas. If you eat turkey de achilas pras, you eat and you drink a little water, then you eat a little more, you drink a little water. What's this? So what's so big? So the Magen Avraham quotes the Chumash Adeshin. It would appear from here that that's only b'diyevit. If you eat turkey de achilas pras, it's good, that's b'diyevit. But l'chatchila, more correct is, you should swallow mamish bevasachas. That's the Chumra from the Magen Avraham, Shem Chumra Sadesh. They quote Bishem Rab Chaim that he dings a Hanav. He said, Rab Chaim said, no. And the Chidushim in Piyashma, Rab Chaim said, if you're eating Korban Pesach a little bit now, a little bit later, a little bit later, Tok Techilas Pas, good Lachat Chila. If you're eating Matzah, Tok Techilas Pas, because that's good Lachat Chila. Why is it only B'dievet? But according to Hillel, that you're eating Pesach, Matzah, Umorah together, according to the Rambam, eating Matzah, Umorah together, the din to be mitzarf one mitzvah with the other mitzvah, that's only if you have bebliya achas, that's only if you swallow mamish bevasachas. The chidish din, the halacha l'moshe mitzina, the turkei de achilas pras, is mitzarif, different achilas together to be one achila, that's if it's the same thing. If you're eating matzah, turkei de achilas pras is good l'chatchil. You're eating morer, turkei de achilas pras akazais is good, but to eat matzah and morer together, that the matzah should be mitzurif with the morer, that's only if you swallow bevasachas. The Gemara has such a distinction. The Gemara has an Elu Oivin. The Gemara says, even according to the Tana who holds that Hetem Itztarif Liyisr, Achloikis Satanoim. In order to get Malkus, you have to eat a kazayis of trefa food. Let's say I eat some non kosher cookies. I eat a kazayis of trefa cookies. But how much of the cookie is trefa already? The flour in the cookie is kosher. A little bit of the flavoring is trefa. So it's less than a kazayis. But I'm eating a kazayis of food which has the flavor. I enjoy the flavor of the treifas. It makes the whole cookie gishmak. So you're not allowed to eat the cookie, that's tam kiker. But how much of the cookie do you have to eat in order to get malchus? So we paskin l'alocha, the Rambam paskin, most of the Rishonim paskin l'alocha, you have to eat so much of the cookie that you know that you have swallowed a kazayis of chazash malchus. But if you only eat a kazayis of the cookie, you're not like it. And there's one opinion in the Gemara that heter mitztarif liyisr. If you're eating heter and isr together and you ate a kazayis that has the flavor of Isser, so you get Malkus for eating that. Rabbi Natan even holds La Locha like that. It's a little bit like that opinion. All the Rishonim ask, what is it? Hetem and Starf Lisa, we don't pass it like that. So Rabbi Natan explains why it's not the same as the case in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, even that Tana holds Hetem and Starf Lisa, that's only if he swallows it mamish, but liachas. But if he eats it, Tuf de Achilos Pras, then the Gemara says, it's not mitzarf. The Hetem is not mitzarf to the Isser, unless it's mamish, but liachas. That's the Gemara Neloi. That's Rab Chaim assumes is perhaps the pshat over here, and this he disagrees with the Chumash Hadeshim. Chumash Hadeshim derived from this kasha that the Mordechai asks. Mordechai asks the kasha: how is it physically possible to swallow Pesach Matzah Morah Bevasachas? Ein beis habli amachzik yosem mikibetzah, and he assumes that a kazayis is a chatzi beitzah. So if you need three kazayisim, it's a beitzah machzah. So how can you swallow it? So the Mordechai gives the teretz, the Beis Ablia cannot be machzor yetzer mikibetza unless he chewed it up. If it's a solid piece of a hard-boiled egg, you want to swallow a whole hard-boiled egg, it's not going to go. You're going to choke on it, it's going to come out. But if you chewed up a lot of food in your mouth, and it's soft, then you can even swallow three kizaisin of asafas. That's the teretz and the Mordechai quotes over here. So the kasha that he asked, that's what the Magen Avraham quotes the Chumash Hasadesh. What was the kasha in the first place? Halik, the three kizaisim, terkede achilas pras. You see from the kasha of the Mordechai that he holds you have to swallow bevasachas. Why? So the Chumash Hasadesh derived from this Mordechai that l'chatchili shouldn't rely on terkede achilas pras. L'chatchili should eat mamish bevasachas. Rav Chaim said he doesn't think that that's what he meant. Rav Chaim thinks that it's only been a get to koirach. When you're eating the matzah and the mora together, then you should swallow bevasachas. But if you're eating matzah alone, a mora alone, then there's no din that has to be bebliachas. So again, so when the Mordechai presents the kasha, so if we would have asked the kasha, we would have asked, eating Pesach matzah umaro, or three kazais of each one, how can you swallow three kazais of asachas? Two kazais is a kebetz, and the Beis Ablia is not machzor more than a kebetz. That's not the way it says in the Mordechai. In the Mordechai it says, how can you swallow three kazais of asachas? Kazais matzah, kazais mor, and kazais charoises. So they change the word charoises that it should say Pesach instead. These are haggos from the Talmidim of the Ramo. That's what they have on the first page of every Mordechai. They say the Ramo used to give shir learning the Mordechai years ago. Shomus Adesh, they all used to sit and learn Mordechai. We hardly ever look in the Mordechai. Mordechai is very rich. It gives you the maskonis of the Balei HaTesis, and he applies it halacha l'maaseh. It's always kedai to look in the Rosh and the Mordechai. It's the end of the Balei HaTesis. Look in the Yozaru also. A lot of times the Mordechai sheds light on what Tesis is talking about. He'll quote a missing line that's missing from the Tesis. He'll understand the Tesis better. So the Ramo, when he gave Shir, he used to tell a Talmidim Hagos. This is supposed to be Hagos from the Ramo. All the brackets that they put in. So the Ramo changed the gear so that it should say Pesach Matzah Umar. Kazayis Pesach, Kazayis Matzah, Kazayis Mar. But the old gear, so the way it says, Kazayis Mora, Kazayis Matzah, it's talking as man as that is no Pesach, and Kazayis Charoises, that you're eating a Kazayis of Charoises. So the way it says here, there's but such a thing as a mitzvah of the Rabbana to eat a Kazayis of Charoises. That's what on the bottom of the page, they have the Heoris of the Big Deyesha, that's the brother of the Shalom. So he says, Any day minayin lo Kazayis, I never heard of this one, to eat a Kazayis Charoises. He doesn't know what's going on. Tzarchian, he doesn't know how to deal with this. But you have a Shulchan Aruch also, the Ramah quotes from the late Rishonim, early Achronim, that just like it's not proper to eat matzah, be'er Pesach, the Kedesh Yechol Matzah L'Teyavon, so too you shouldn't eat any maror on Erev Pesach, Kedesh Yechol Maror L'Teyavon, you shouldn't eat any fruits on Erev Pesach, Kedesh Yechol Charoises L'Teyavon. So the Ramah, the Darkei Moshe, quotes this from the earlier Achronim. He says he doesn't know what it means. What do you mean Kedesh Yechol Charoises L'Teyavon? We don't eat Charoises. You dip the more into Charoises, then you shake off the Charoises, you don't need it. So he doesn't understand this. But nonetheless, in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes it. Even though he himself writes, he doesn't understand. So b'chore, those who wrote like that you shouldn't eat fruits, and they're Pesach, they sheyach l'charoises l'teyavon, so they're working on the assumption that according to Rav Lezer ben Tzarek, that Charoises mitzvah means it's a mitzvah to eat a kazayis of Charoises. Yes, and maybe if it's a mitzvah to eat, that's what you're saying. If it's a mitzvah to eat kazayis of Charoises, if that's Pshat and Rav Lezer ben Tzarek, then it deserves a bracha. There's no ikar in tofel. But if the way the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah, he leaves that out. He writes because Charoises is a mitzvah. But he doesn't say a mitzvah to eat Charoises. It's a mitzvah to dip in the maror into Charoises, to dip the matzah into Charoises. Fine, to dip in. So then of course, it's a tofel. Just how are you supposed to fulfill the mitzvah of maror? How are you supposed to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah? But it's not an independent mitzvah of the Rabban. It's a tofel to the other one. So Leitchik suggested a different answer, not like these Rishonim. Why the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah doesn't have a bracha on the Charoises? If you pass on Zakar Rav Lezer Rav Tzarek, that Charoises mitzvah, so how come he doesn't have a bracha? So he suggested there's a klal from the Achronim that one only recites a bracha when you're performing a Maisa mitzvah. We spoke about it just the other day. Sometimes a person does a Maisa mitzvah, he's not even doing the Kima mitzvah. I put on the mezuzah on your home. You're yotzei the mitzvah mezuzah. I'm yotzei the mitzvah gminos chasarim. I did you a favor. So I say the bracha lekvar mezuzah because I did the ma'isa mitzvah. Even though you have the kiyum mitzvah, the bracha is recited when one does a ma'isa mitzvah. So sometimes one fulfills a mitzvah without a ma'isa mitzvah. Avas Hashem. It's a mitzvah to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yiras Hashem. Okay, these are wonderful mitzvahs. Emunah. The Rambam has the first couple of mitzvahs. The first mitzvah is to believe in Hashem. Second mitzvah is Avas Hashem. Third mitzvah is Yiras Hashem. Fine. Then I think the fourth mitzvah is Tefillah, to daven. So the first three mitzvahs, to believe in Hashem, Avas Hashem, Hashem. There's no bracha. Why is there no bracha? There's no ma'isa mitzvah. He believes in Hashem, and he loves Hashem, and he fears Hashem. There's no ma'isa mitzvah. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe sometimes there's a mitzvah where there's no ma'isa mitzvah. The Rambam writes like this. In Hilchus Chametz Matzah, when the Rambam is telling you how to do all the mitzvahs halayla, so it tells you what's the recipe, how do you make charoises. And then he writes, Mevim osav ala shulchan b'leili ha-pesach. He's in the middle of Hilchus Chametz Matzah. So he writes, Mevim osav ala shulchan b'leili ha-pesach. It's like if you're talking to children on Lag Boimer, on Tu B'Shvat, you're going to talk about charoises, so the kid's going to say, what's charoises? They say it's a concoction of different fruits that you chop up together, nuts and fruits, and you bring it on Pesach, and you bring it to the Seder. But the Rambam is describing the Seder. In the middle of the description of the Seder, he says, he has to tell you what to do with it. So what appears from the Rambam, that he's not giving you a thumbnail description of what the mitzvah of charoises is all about. He's defining the Gedder HaMitzvah, what does that mean? That the mitzvah of, even if you hold that you have to eat a kazayis, the Rambam never said, even if you think that the Rambam means, Charoises mitzvah means you eat a kazayis, or if the Rambam, the way he seems like he says, the whole mitzvah of the Rabban is to dip the matzah in the mora, in the charois, in the karpas, into charoises, that's the mitzvah. But it's not a mitzvah to dip in. The mitzvah is that it should be there on the shulchan, that we should remember zecher letid, zecher letapuach, and zecher ledam. So since the mitzvah is only zecher, the only way to have a zecher is that it should be on the table and we should use it. We should dip something. We should do something with it. If you're not going to do, you're not going to have the zecher. But once you have the zecher, it turns out that the mitzvah really is in the thinking, in the reminiscing in your mind. So that's a mitzvah. Like Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem and Emunah Hashem, there is no ma'isa mitzvah. The dipping in, he thought, that's not called a ma'isa mitzvah. That's it. It should be mitzurif to the table. It should be mitzurif to the food. If I'm not going to dip anything into it, I'm just going to sit there. So it doesn't count. There isn't going to be a zecher. A suggestion, an idea. One of the Rishonim has like that. The Chok Yankif on the bottom of the page in Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Oruch that we eat. Koyrach, and he says Zecher leMikdash Kihil, okay, now Sila was Ban Shabbos Mikdash Ayikayam, etc. So the Chok Yankel quotes a kasha from the Oruch. How come we don't say a bracha on the eating of Koyrach? It's a funny kasha. The Rishonim all say the eating of Koyrach is in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Matzah Mar. We're not sure whether he's supposed to eat Matzah Mar together. The Dafka is supposed to eat them separately. So the Gemara says Hashta Delit Mehilchus Avlo Kemar Avlo Kemar. Now that we don't have a clear-cut psak, whether we require bedavke to eat the matzah mar together or bedavke separately, where is that Gemara? On Kuf Tezvav and Aleph, the Gemara says, now that we don't have a clear-cut psak, Hashem delit me'ilchus aloi kihila v'loi kirabon, we don't have a pask, whether davke together, davke separately. The first you eat matzah, you say brachan matzah, you eat it separately. Then you say brachan mar, you eat it separately. Then you eat korach together, and the bracha that you said, and the matzah and the maror, you shouldn't be mafsik, and that bracha should relate to the korach, because we're not sure how you're supposed to fulfill the mitzvah. But the dafke separately, a dafke together. So we do both because of the suffix. That's what it says in the Gemara. So the brachas that we said on the matzah and the maror relate to the korach. That's why it says in Shulchan. You shouldn't be mafsik. You shouldn't talk in between the bracha of al achilas matzah and the eating of the korach. We always talk. The Mishnah Berurah says, He doesn't think it's right that we say Zecher LeMikdash Kihil, okay, now say Hillel, etc. Why do you say Zecher LeMikdash Kihil? He thinks that was originally printed in tiny letters. That's just a description of what's going on. It's not that that's part of this Haggadah. It shouldn't have the Kudus. That shouldn't be recited. It shouldn't be in big letters. That should be in small letters just to explain what Karach is all about. Or if you want to say Zecher LeMikdash, you say it after you swallow the Karach. You shouldn't say it before. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. But But the Orach has this strange question. He asked the question, why don't we recite a bracha before we eat the korach? What would the bracha be? A funny bracha. We should say a bracha before we eat korach. He treats korach as if it's an independent mitzvah. So he gives us a teretz, the Orach HaRishon gives us a teretz, that since it's only a zecher, so whenever you have a mitzvah that's only a zecher, so no bracha is recited. Why? What does that mean? So that, perhaps that means what Rav Soloveitchik suggested by the Charoses. He said the Charoses zecher, zecher, to A, B, or C, it's a zecher. So since the mitzvah is only a zecher, so there is no ma'isa mitzvah. The mitzvah is to reminisce in your mind. You have it on the table and you're reminiscing that. That's not really a ma'isa mitzvah. The mitzvah is like Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. It's a mitzvah miskayem is belishu ma'isa mitzvah.
Didn't you say the same thing with Mar?
Rav Soloveitchik suggested the same shot in the Rosh by Mar. The Rosh seems to have raised the question whether one should require a kazayis of Mar. When you eat Mar on Pesach Nat, the Yapta says, it only says ve'achilas habasa balayla ze ein achila pchusim mikazayis. It only says achila on the korban Pesach, and ba'erev toch lematzah says on the matzah. The verb achila never really appears in chumash in conjunction with mara. It says that al matzah semerorim toch luhu. You should eat the korban Pesach in conjunction with matzah mara. But the verb achila never really appears in chumash in conjunction with the mara. So the Rosh sounds like he's raising a suffix. Maybe the only reason why you need a kazayis of korban Pesach hamaratze because it says achila. By Mar it doesn't say achilas, maybe you don't need kazayis. It's a beferish of Mishnah and daf lametes. Elo mitzvah from the kazayis. It says in the Mishnah there are different kinds of vegetables that are acceptable for Mar. And you can have a kazayis made up from all of them. It says beferish, mitzvah from the kazayis, you need a kazayis. A very strange Rosh. How is the Rosh poshut? So it should have been poshut from the Mishnah. Instead of being poshut the Shaila, it's poshut from the fact that we have a bracha. Asher kedushanim sasano al achilas maror. So we say the word achila in the nusach habracha, and el achila pchusa mikazayis. So the Shagazariyeh eska kasha on the Rosh. So why did the Tanoim formulate such a nusach habracha? Al achilas maror, that should require us to eat a kazayis. So we should have said a bracha al mitzvah maror. So we would have been able to get away with eating less than a kazayis. He doesn't understand this Rosh. It's a Rosh in the last pair. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik suggested a different shot that one of the Gedolim has, the Bichas Hashir HaGadol, they have from Ablei Bishcharef. He was in the 1800s, so he has this same shot. He said, Avad the Rosh knew the Mishnah and Daf Lamentes, that you have to eat a kazayis of Moro. But maybe that's only Bizman HaMikdash when Moro was their Isa. But Bizman HaZed and Moro is only the Rabbanon wise, Eichel HaMikdash. So the Rosh was Mesupik. If it's not a mitzvah of achilas mara b'zman hazeh, it's only zecher l'migdash. So to make a zecher is enough with less than a kazayis. You nibble a little bit, it's also a zecher. Who says you have to have a kazayis to have a zecher? So that's what the Rosh says. No, if what's the nature of the din of mara b'zman hazeh zecher l'migdash? Does it mean the mitzvah is to make a zecher l'migdash? Or no, because of the consideration of zecher l'migdash, the Tanaim instituted after the Churban HaBayis that the mitzvah Mara should still apply b'zman hazeh. Is zecher l'migdash the etzem kiyum mitzvah? Is a mitzvah of zecher l'migdash? A zecher l'migdash is the motivation. What prompted the Tanoim? What motivated the Tanoim to introduce a mitzvah Mara b'zman hazeh? So the Rosh is pushing his suffix for Mara b'zman hazeh from the fact that there is a bracha, not from the fact that the nusach habracha is al achilas Mara. If you would have said the bracha al mitzvahs mara, it would have been the same thing. It would have required a kazayis. Why? Because the Rosh was assuming if one would hold that the whole mitzvah of mara b'zman hazeh is only to make a zecher l'migdash, then number one, you wouldn't need a kazayis. Number two, there wouldn't be any bracha at all. Whenever the mitzvah is only to make a zecher, so zecher is like avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. That's a mitzvah miskayem is b'zikorim b'machshavim. So the fact that there exists a bracha indicates that the Chachamim were motivated because they wanted to make a Zechel HaMikdash, so that motivated them to make a Takana of Achilas Mara B'zman HaZeh. So once they made Mara B'zman HaZeh as a mitzvah of Mara, so just like B'zman HaMikdash, you needed a Kazayis in Yisei Bracha, so B'zman HaZeh also, you needed a Kazayis in Yisei Bracha. But it's not so much, the Rosh didn't mean to say from the fact that you say the Nusach HaBracha Al Achilas Mara, as opposed to Al Mitzvah Mara. If you would have said Al Mitzvah Mara, it would have been the same thing. Mitzvah that's only a Zecher doesn't have a bracha with it. Yeah, that's how Rav Soloveitchik suggested pshat in the Rosh, and that's what the Chok Yankel quotes from the Orach. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested on the Haroises. That maybe the Haroises, even if you hold Haroises mitzvah, maybe you don't have to say because it's an Iker and a Tofel. The Pashtus is though, if you hold, you don't eat it because you're not eating Haroises. You're just dipping in the matzah and dipping in the mor, dipping in the karpas. So it is a Tofel. So it's a very good answer. It is a Tofel. If you learn like the Sefer, like the Pirush HaMishnah, it's like Rambam, that the bracha would have been al achilas mor, that it would have made a separate achil, then it's not a Tofel. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested, even if one were to assume that you eat it separately and it's not an ikar and a tofel, it still wouldn't require a bracha because the mitzvah is only mevi'im osar al shulchan b'leil ha'pesach, just to make a zecher. There is a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara talks about lulav kol shiva is only mid'rabbanan. The Mishnah says lulav nikol b'amikdash kol shiva b'amedina yom echad. The mitzvah in HaTorah is u'kachtum lechem b'yom harishon. You only shake the dalmin on the first day of Sukkah, not Pesach. First day of Sukkot, and the rest of the till through Hashanah Rabbah, every day you only shake the lulav in the Beis Hamikdash. And after Mishachar Beis Hamikdash, Shizkar Rabbi Yechem Hazakai, that's one of the nine takonas of Rabbi Yechem Hazakai, Shehei lulav nitu kol shiva zechel hamikdash. So the Gemara has a machloek to Samarai, whether you say a bracha or not, a lulav kol shiva. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that yes, how do you know? Because we passed in my headlock as near as Chanukah, that you say bracha la Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvah zivitzvan lahalig na Chanukah, even though na Chanukah is only with the Rabbanon. And where is it? Bitzivanu? So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Where the Bitzivanu? How can you say Bitzivanu? So just like on their Chanukah, you say bracha, so too over here, on Lulav Kol Shiva, even though it's only with the Rabbanon, you still say bracha. So the Sfasemis points out on that Gemara that there's really room to dingzach. One could have argued that hadlokas hamenoire is a mitzvah, a ma'isa mitzvah, but lulav kol shiva is zecher l'migdosh, a mitzvah that's only zecher. Maybe that's a law madrega of a mitzvah. He says maybe no bracha is recited. All right, so he says the Gemara said like that, but he says there's really room to distinguish. It's a strong svara to distinguish. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out in his Rosh and the Rambam by the Haroises and so on. There's room to argue the point and say whenever a mitzvah, and the Aruch says b'feresh like that, whenever a mitzvah is only a zecher, so there is no ma'isa mitzvah, so maybe then there's no bracha. That's a problem. Yeah. The Mishnah has the nusach ha-bracha that we recite over the second cup of wine. So the Mishnah quotes a machlekes Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. What is the nusach habracha? So the Rabbi Soloveitchik used to point out the Pirush HaMishnayos LaHarambam has a very interesting comment on that Mishnah. He says that there isn't really a machlekes Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Tarfon was an older contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, and he lived mainly with Marabayis. So Rabbi Tarfon doesn't say we should be zecher to build the Beis Hamikdash. He's talking about the nusach, this mancha Beis Hamikdash ha'ikayim. So he said the bracha shekedushan tzatzan. He said the bracha shir gyalano. We go al sabasenim tzvi higar al alazel lechol by Pesach matzu umara. Amen. That was the end of the bracha. Rabbi Kiva lived after the churban abayis, so he can't say lechol higar al alazel lechol by Pesach matzu umara. So he leaves out the Pesach, so he says Anusach. You got all Anusach lechel by Matzah and Mara. Then he adds on. Kein Hashem Elokeinu Yagieinu L'mayadim L'gar Machel. We should be zecher to next year. We should have a Beis Hamikdash. We should be able to eat the Korban Pesach. That's how the Rambam has in the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Mishnah Torah also. He has, what was the Nusach HaGadah Bizman Abayis? What's the Nusach HaGadah Bizman HaZeh? So he says, Rab Tarfon's Nusach was Bizman Abayis. Rabbi Kiva's Nusach is Bizman HaZeh. He lived in two different, he was an older contemporary. Rab Tarfon was an older contemporary. Rabbi Akiva, he mainly functioned as Manabais. Rabbi Akiva mainly functioned after the Churban Abais. So in that Nusach HaBracha that we say today, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Zchiyah, we should see Smecha Mevinyan Yirech V'sosim Ba'avod Yosecha, we should see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and bringing him to Kabbalah, V'nerech HaShem Min Azvachim Min Apsachim Mashiyagi Adam HaMalkim Izbachach Al Deiratzon. So we say V'nerech HaShem Min Azvachim Min Apsachim. What does it mean Min Azvachim Min Apsachim? So we were talking yesterday and the day before about Chagigas Arba Osar and the Korban Pesach. That first you eat the Chagigas Arba Osar, either Menatarim or the Rabbana, whatever, then you eat the Korban Pesach afterwards. So that's the Nusach that we have in Ochal Shamir Azvachim, Umin Apsachim. So So some girsas have an echol shamin apsachim and min azvachim. They're two different girsas. So some say no. More correct is first eat the chagigas abasar, then eat the pesach halasova at the end of the meal. The way Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi on daf ayin amud aleph. Not the way the Rambam. We said yesterday the Rambam learns eat kedei lizbo mimenu. Eat two kezaisim of korban pesach. You only have to have one kezais of the chagigas abasar. The Tosis learns halasova at the end of the meal. So first eat the zvachim, then eat the psachim. So the shaila is, if Pesach is on a Metzoy Shabbos, and there Pesach is Chaliyas B'Shabbos, and then it's a Machlekes HaTanayim, the Korban Pesach is Decher Shabbos. What about the Chagigas HaBosah? So that was Machlekes of Yudah Ben Durtoy and Ben Tema and the Chachamim and Dafayim and Aleph. So we do not Paskin like Rabbi Yudah Ben Durtoy. That's what we said yesterday. It's a Pella. Why they quote in Shulchan Aruch the Tosfos that the Shnei Tavshilin should both be broiled, because we follow Rabbi Yehuda ben Dutoy that you need sleep by the Chagigas HaBosah. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda ben Dutoy, a Pella. So that's why many Haggadahs it says that when the Seder is, when you recite the Haggadah, Amatzoi Shabbos, you shouldn't say Menachol Shem and Azrachim and Menapzach, because when Pesach falls on Amatzoi Shabbos, the Chagigas HaBosah is not Decher Shabbos. So you only bring the Chagigah of Pesach. Pesach Shavuos Sukkos is bring a Chagigah, but that's Karev in the middle of Pesach. That's not Karev on Erev Pesach. So you won't be able to eat Men Azvachim and Men Apsachim. You'll be able to eat Men Apsachim first, no Chagigah Sabras, and then Men Azvachim, you'll eat a Chagigah. In the course of Pesach, you'll eat some Karev and Chagigah. So that's why some suggested that when Pesach is on Matzoi Shabbos, you should reverse the order, you should say Men Echol Sham, Men Apsachim and Men Azvachim. So the Rishonim already commented about this, that this is a joke. Just because this year Pesach fell out on Matzoi Shabbos, and next year is going to fall out on Matzoi Shabbos, why? What you say is, if you have a calendar and you know that next year's Pesach is going to be Shabbos, so the year before Erev Pesach, Holy is be Shabbos, then you should switch the Nusach. Yeah, but then how do you know if they're going to build the Beis Hamikdash? Eliyahu HaNavi will come. They may not follow the printed calendar. There'll be Mekadosh al Piyariya. They may change everything. Who says there may be another Sheni next year? How do you know what's going to be next year? If you're going to build it, if there's a possibility to build the Beis HaMikdash, everything may be different. So that's why most assume that it's not proper to switch on Matzoi Shabbos. To say when Erev Pesach Chali is B'Shabbos, then you say Menachol Shem and Apsach Men Azochem. It doesn't make any sense. So that's where Baruch Epstein has his suggestion. That one is not there. He says that if you look in the Mishnah, if you look in the Gemara, Kuf Tezayin on the base, so the Girsa in the Mishnah is Menechol Sham Min Apsach Min Azvachim. Then on the side it says B'Mishnah She B'Mishnah is V'Chein B'Rif V'Barash V'Harambam. They all have the reverse Girsa. Menechol Sham Min Azvachim Min Apsachim, the reverse. So somebody wrote down B'Mishnah She B'Mishnah is Beis Mem Shin Beis B'Mishnah She B'Mishnah is. The girsa is Venechol Sham Min Azvachim Min Apsachim. So somebody thought that it says B'Matzoi Shabbos. So the printed and say he was Mafanech, the Rashi Tevis wrong. He wrote that B'Matzoi Shabbos. He suggests that maybe this whole idea that some Achrayim came up with, that when Erev Pesach is Matzoi Shabbos, he reversed the Nusa, maybe it came from a misunderstanding of the Rashi Tevis. Anyway, the Paskim say not supposed to be reversed. Whatever the Nusach is on a normal night, that's how you say it all the time. What exactly is matzah? So in order to know what matzah is, you have to know what chametz is. So what exactly is chametz? So the Mishnah says on Lamed Hamed Aleph that you can only use for matzah something which is boleh de chimutz. So what is chimutz? So the Tanoim understood that there's chimutz and there's sirchan. These are two different chemical reactions. When you mix flour with water, so a reaction occurs. So one reaction is called chimutz, and one reaction is called sirchan. So the Tanoim experimented, that's how it says in the Yerushalmi. The Jews always believed, the rabbis always believed in experimentation. The Greek philosophers used to philosophize about everything. They didn't believe in experimentation. But the rabbis always experimented on everything. So they experimented. So they mixed cornmeal with water, and they mixed all kinds of kidneys with water, and they mixed grains with water. And they said, this is chimutz, and this is sirchan. So this is chametz, this is not chametz. Then when it came to orez, so they took orez, and they mixed it with water, and they were looking at it. So Be'echa Menuri said, that's chimutz. And then the other Tanaim said that sirchon means it's halfway in between. It's halfway in between chimutz and sirchon. It's usually assumed that chimutz means the reaction that you have when you have gluten. So it rises and it has like what do you call it on top? An arc on top. When your mother makes chalas, when your wife makes chalas, whatever. So that's called chimutz. So
a dome
on top, right? So that's chimutz. That's the effect that happens when you have gluten. So the oris has much less gluten than the chameshes min yadok. So that was the machlokes ha'tanaim. Where do you draw the line? That's what it says in the Yerushalmi. The Ramban quotes that Yerushalmi. Ramban asks in the beginning of Eilat Treifas, how can it be a machlokes ha'tanaim in the Gemara with a treif chai treif enechaya? Why didn't they experiment? We know from the Talmud Yerushalmi that the Tanaim believed in experimentation. Yerushalmi says, how can there be a machlokes by the Oris is bolei dechimutz or not? Why don't they experiment and they'll see? So Yerushalmi says they did experiment and that's what they had an argument. Rabbi Yechman Nuri felt that this is enough chimutz to fall under the category of chimutz. And the Chacham said, no, it's not enough. This is called sircha. So the first klal is, in order to be considered chametz, you have to have one of the chameshes mini dog, and that it should be bole de chimutz. Second klal, the Gemara says, they have to mix it with water. Mix it with mei peris, so the Gemara says on the top line, alam and ahem ebeis, mei peris e machmitz. What exactly does that mean? Is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi is bothered with a kasha that on lamed vavim and aleph. The Gemara says, if you mix flour with mei peris, it's memahir lahachmitz. The punk faker. Here it says emei peris emachmitz, and here it says that it's memay lahachmitz. It's a contradiction. One omer next to the other. Neighbors. How can it be? It's mamash a contradiction. So Rashi has a fantastic teretz, and Tosfos doesn't agree. Rashi says emei peris emachmitzim. In order to become chametz, you have to mix flour with water and then leave it for a while. That's how you make matzahs. Mix flour with water. So all the matzahs are chametz. Now the answer is, how long does it sit like that? It has to sit for a long, 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 long time in order that it should be bolei dechimutz. If you just bake it very quickly, it's not bolei dechimutz. So the Mishnah has two stages in the rising of the dough. There's one stage is called seor, and the next stage is called siduk. Seor is when it's rising. Siduk is when it rose so much that it already cracked on the top. You have big cracks. Sidukim are cracks. So the Mishnah says when it reaches the point of siduk, it was sitting for a long, long, long time and it turned into chametz. That's chametz dog and gomer for onish kores. That's the real McCoy. Then if you eat that on Pesach, you chayv kores. If you eat seor is the beginning of the chametz process. Chametz is a process. This is a Mishnah Mem Chesam and Beis. Chametz is a process. It doesn't happen in a second. The process begins at the stage of seor and it's completed at the stage of siduk. So when it's completed, that's chametz dog and gomer vanish kares. If you eat seor, there's no kares on that. You're not allowed to eat it because it's the beginning of the chametz process, but there's no kares on that. This prohibition that you're not allowed to eat it, the Gemara says Menachos that that's a machlekes in this Mishnah. In the Mishnah, you can't tell what's going on. So the Gemara Menachos explains pshat in this Mishnah. Menachos nun gimel, it says. So it's a machlekes or a meir of Yudah whether the iser to eat seor is an iser deraisa. Or Nisa the Rabban, more calls it Chametz Nuksha. There are different kinds of Chametz Nuksha. So this Chametz Nuksha, the term is used over here in the sense, is the beginning of the Chametz process, but it didn't complete itself yet. So if you at the beginning of the Chametz process, it's like a Chatzi Shir of Chametz, so that's a Machlokes Ramei Rab Yudah, whether that's an Nisa Derais and Nisa Derabban. And then there's a further Machlokes Ramei Rab Yudah, a major Machlokes, when are you holding by the beginning of the Chametz process, and when are you holding by the end of the Chametz process? So one Tana claims that what the other Tana says is the Gemara of the Chametz process, that's there's the beginning of the Chametz process. When is the Gemara? Ooh, way later. A long time later. So how fast do you have to bake the dough? Let's say I mix flour with water. So if I let it sit for 5 hours, that's Chametz Dogen Gomer. What if I let it sit for 1 hour? Probably will be only, the most it can be is Seor. How long can you let the water and the flour sit together without any hisaskas? The Gemara says, if you do hisaskas all day long, kol hayam kula, it doesn't become chametz. Even if you don't do hisaskas. Hisaskas means you keep on kneading and kneading. The Gemara says, if you have the flour with the water in a bowl and you have a leak in the ceiling, very sanitary conditions in the bakery. So there's a leak in the ceiling and it's dripping down tif, lahadi tif. A drop after a drop keeps on dropping, dripping. So the Gemara says if it keeps on dripping, it can sit there all day long, it won't become chametz. That's the equivalent of hisaskus. Okay. So if you have hisaskus, you can leave it all day long, it's not going to become chametz. If there's no hisaskus, how long can the flour sit with the water that you know for sure that it didn't even begin the beginning of the process? You're not even holding by sale. So if a person recognizes these simanim and memches in the base, let him look at it. He'll be able to see whether you're holding by sale or you're not holding by sale. If he doesn't know, it's hard to determine what this is, how long. So the Gemara says, kidei shir mil is for sure no problem. The amount of time that it takes to walk a mill, that amount of time for sure. More than the shir mil, there's what to begin to think about a half a minute that maybe it's going to become chametz. So how much is the shir mil? So the Mishnah Berurah says that the shir mil is 18 minutes. Mishnah Berurah has all over like that. Whenever he talks about the shir mil. So he says the shir mil is 18 minutes. Professor Leo Levy published a sefer on Nizmane Hayom Bahaloch. He used to teach him in the college. He's the one who is involved in Machon Lev in Eretz Yisrael. Professor Lev passed away already. So he's also retired. Professor Levy is also retired. So in his book on Nizmane Hayom Bahaloch, he shows that it's a really mistake, that those Akhraidim who said 18 minutes didn't have the system of time that we have today. They didn't have 20, we have 24 hours in a day, and each hour has 60 minutes, and each minute has 60 seconds. They didn't have that system, they had a different system. So by them, the 18 minutes was the equivalent of Bayas 22 and a half minutes. That's what he shows. So he says, based on the Gemara, it should really be 22 and a half minutes. Whatever. So we're machmat to have 18 minute months. Some people are. So that's why the Mahadrim always see to it that they don't let the flour sit with the water for more than 18 minutes because of the concern that maybe the beginning of the chametz process began. Even though you know and I know, we all know that it doesn't happen in 18 minutes. It takes an hour for the beginning of the process. But the Gemara said, less than a mil for sure, there's nothing to worry about. More than a mil, you got to know how to recognize the siman. So less than a mil is no problem. I remember once the SOY was selling, the boys from the yeshiva used to bake matzahs. Used to go. Now the college is more difficult, so they have no time to bake matzahs. Years ago, it wasn't so hard. But my time, the boys used to go bake matzahs. So one year, they had 17-minute matzahs. Not 18, 17. So one balabos didn't want to buy it. He only wants chai. He wants 18-minute matzahs. He didn't realize that the less it is, and the better it is. That's why there are many who are mahadah that they insist dafke on machine matzah, machine shmur. They don't want hand shmur. Machine shmur takes one quarter of the time, much less. The hand shmur takes much longer. It takes much longer to make the hand shmur. Anyway, everything is done with his saskos in less than 18 minutes, so there's no problem. If you're holding the dough outside of the furnace, outside of the oven, and it's getting hot, so then it's going to be less than 18 minutes because the heat is going to cause it to be memayla hafnis. But if you're holding it in a cold location, so then you have up until 18 minutes and there's no problem at all. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes a lashon that after you do the lisha, you should be memaher to bake it miyad. You should hurry quickly to bake the dough miyad in order that it shouldn't become chametz. So what does that mean, memaher to bake it miyad? So some Achrayim say because the body temperature is 98 degrees, no? 98.6 or something, 98 degrees. So if you're going to knead the dough with your hands, free the Gedarzi used to knead the dough with the hands, so you're going to be warming up the dough. So you should bake it right away because the body temperature is going to warm up the dough and it may be Memar Lahachmetz. You should hurry up. So the Chazanish disagrees and he says, when it says Yish Mimar Miyad, the word Miyad means less than 18 minutes. Up until 18 minutes, absolutely no shadow whatsoever. And that's what they have in the Chulas HaRashba. The Rashba learned by the Ramban in Barcelona. So he writes that they didn't have their own oven to bake. They had a rent. They had to go down the block. They used to knead the dough for the matzahs in the Ramban's home. And it was springtime and the sun was shining outside. They used to take the dough outside and walk down the block and bake it in the oven. And he says, we didn't run. We walked leisurely down the block. It was less than the shear mill, so there was no problem. So Rabbi Shavel, Zichrono Livracha, who did all the work on all the Rambans, published a biography of the Ramban. So he went specially to Barcelona to see what information he can find. So he found the rabbi's home is still there, Harayam Hazeh, and the bakery is down the block. He says it takes a few minutes to walk from the rabbi's home to the bakery. Exactly what the Rashba is talking about. So that's what the Chazon Ish said. The Chazon Ish wasn't, I don't think he was aware of this Jerusalem Hashbon. He just said on his own, when it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to be memayer to bake it miyad, not to be taken literally miyad miyad. It just means that you shouldn't be shoya 18 minutes. If you have a shear mill, whatever shear mill is, the Mishnah Berurah always says shear mill is 18 minutes, Ozan 18 minutes. So that's how Rashi answers this contradiction. Rashi says, the top line Alam and Hamibay says that May Paris are not Bole De Chimitz. And here the Gemara says that May Paris is Memar Lahachmitz. So it's a contradiction. So Rashi says, no, what it means is, if you Losh Isa the May Paris, Ein Machmitz, it'll never become Chomitz Dog and Gomer. It'll never reach the end result of Siduk. But Seyor, the beginning of the Chimitz process, it will reach. And that'll be either in Isar Achila Derais and Isar Achila Derabonin, depending on the Machlekes HaMeir Abuda that the Gemara Menachos points out on Nun Gimel. So the Gemara says, May Peris and Mimar LaHachmitz is true. It's Mimahir. It'll hasten the coming on of the beginning of the Chimitz process and be Chametz Nukshin. But it'll never reach the Gemara HaChimitz process. And the Gemara says, in order that Matzah should be good, in order that matzah, if you lush matzah, the may peris, it's no good. So we assume there are two reasons why. One reason is because matzah ashira. And the Rambam says it's not true. The only matzah ashira is yain, shem, and dvash, and cholav. Only those four mashkim, no other mashkim. So how come the Gemara says, if you lush matzah, the may peris, no good? So the Gemara says a different reason, not because of matzah ashira. Gemara says because it's only kosher for matzah if it was boli de chimutz and you prevented it from becoming chametz. But if you mix it with May Paris, it's not Bola Dei Chimutz. It's not called Matzah. Matzah means in contrast to Chametz. But if you can mix flour with May Paris and let it sit for a year, and then you're going to bake it, so that's not called Shmura Matzah. Shmura Matzah, you have to watch that it shouldn't become Chametz and bake it quickly. So if you're mixing with May Paris, true, it's Memayr LaHachmitz, Chivas HaChimutz process, but since it can never reach the Gemara HaChimutz process, that's how Rashi interprets, since it can never reach the Gemara Chemitz process, it's called not Bola de Chomet, so that's not good for Matz. That's not kosher for Matz. That's how Rashi farenfes this deal. So according to Rashi, that if you mix flour with May Paris, it's Memar LaHachmitz, that's what it says in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, an Adaf, you shouldn't do it. It's risky. So the Gemara says, don't look for trouble. Don't eat any matzah that was made with May Paris, because it may be Memar LaHachmitz. So that's what the Ramah has a minig, a chumra, that we don't eat matzah that's baked with May Paris or the Paris, all the Pesach, because it may be Memar LaHachmitz. It's a chashash. Tosfos has a suffix about May Beitzim. Laman Hamer Beis. Is May Beitzim the same as Shar May Paris, or maybe May Beitzim is the same as mine? They're not sure. So if one should assume that May Beitzim egg matzahs, one should assume that May Beitzim is the same as May Paris, so they mix in with the May Beitzim, they mix in also apple cider or something, mix in other things too. So since you have some May Paris there, so that's according to Rashi, the Chashash, that it may be Memar LaHachmitz, so the Gemara says it's risky, you shouldn't do it. So the meaning is we don't look at trouble. It's not that we don't eat egg matzah all the Pesach because we're choshish for the Ramam. The Rambam never said you shouldn't eat matzah ashira all the Pesach, he just said the first 2 days of Pesach. One wants to be machmir, not to eat egg matzah the first 2 days of Pesach. That's the chumra of the Rambam. Not to eat matzah ashira the first 2 days. This chumra is because of the concern of Rashi. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says that that's not what it means. When the Gemara talks on Lamed Vavam and Aleph of Alosh Yisav and Mei Peris is Memar LaHachmitz, that means if he mixed in water plus Mei Peris. So if he mix in water, it's Bole Dechimot. So if he mix in Mei Peris, that'll serve as a catalyst to hasten the process, the chimitz process. It'll come faster than 18 minutes. But if you only had May Paris at all, alone, so the Balei HaTosfos think that it's not Bolei De Chimitz at all. You can leave it all day long and nothing's going to happen. The whole Meduba in the Gemara, Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, that it's Memar LaHachmitz, is only if it's May Paris with water. So this chumra, not to eat the egg matzah on Pesach, is because we're concerned about Rashi. That Rashi holds that it's Memar LaHachmitz, and the Gemara recommends you shouldn't look for trouble. Don't do something that's risky. So that's why it's in Shulchan Aruch, it's a chumra. So for chodom iskenim, it's mutter. Yeah, the yesterday, Baron Soloveitchik, Zachan Lebracha, how come we only print that in Hebrew? Mutter, rak lechodom iskenim. Most of the Americans can't read the Hebrew. So he said that he thinks that his egg matzahs are mutter mikra din to everybody. He thinks that it's not even the chumra in Shulchan Aruch. He says, May Paris is memar lahachmetz, according to Rashi, if you have not 18 minutes, so 5 minutes. If you leave it without a saskus for 5 minutes. So he said, His egg matzahs, he had them introduce a clapping machine, that the egg matzahs, when they're made, there's always a saskus the whole time. Either it's being moved, or it's being banged, or it's being shaken. There's always a saskus the whole time. There isn't even 3 minutes where it doesn't have any saskus. He thought that even according to the Chumar of Rashi, it doesn't apply to his egg matzahs. So that's why he didn't want to have people complain to him. So he put it in the Hebrew, mutar rak l'chayim aleskein. But he thought mikra din is really mut.
Is it so hard for them to do that? To make it that there's a saskus always and never have a problem?
Even without his clapping machine, there's also his saskus the whole time. The machine is always shaking. The conveyor belt, it's always shaking the whole time. It's not sitting calmly, even for a moment. It doesn't happen with Ruchas HaNefesh.
So the whole Chumrah is not really shaking.
Probably right. Rabbi Aaron is probably right. The Pashtus is the way they make egg matzahs now. It doesn't sit. Doesn't even sit for 5 minutes. Doesn't even sit for 3 minutes. It's always shaking, always moving, even without the clapping machine. The Gemara says the same is true regarding kidneys. If you have kemach from kidneys and you grind it up, you make kemach, and you mix it with water, it's also boli de sirchan. It's not boli de chimutz. So mikra din is no concern. Tosis on the bottom of Mem Aleph on the base quotes Rabbi Nachmanon, the last line in Tosis. The Gemara says that in the home of the Reish Galusa, they used to have Jewish people running the kitchen who were servants, avodim, shchichi avdi. They were not so medaktik in mitzvahs. They weren't so medaktik. So the Rabbi said, it's not right to permit, if they're not so medaktik, the balabat not so medaktik, it's not proper to permit them to use chasisi when they're cooking on Pesach. What in the world is chasisi? So Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Hanan, chasisi means adashim, means kidneys. Because if you're going to let the chef in the kitchen use kidneys and mix it with water, the next thing you're going to do is he's going to use regular flour and mix it with water also. So by us, it can't happen. We don't have any regular flour. We have matzah mel. Matzah mel is not boli de chimutz. But years ago, they didn't have this einfalo having matzah mel. So they had regular Pesach to get flour. If you let it sit long enough, it will be boli de chimutz. So Rabbi Nachmanon interprets in the Gemara that the Gemara has the chumrah of kidneys. If you live in a, if the balabatim running the kitchen are not so medactic, you shouldn't allow them to use kidneys, because they may mix it up with they may think that they're allowed to use regular Pesach to get flour as well. The Primigodim had an edition of the Rambam where we have a Hasogas Arayvit on the Rambam Hilchos Chametz Matzah. The Rambam says something and the Arayvit is masig on it. So the Primogodim had an addition where the Hasogas Arayvit was on kidneys. That the Rambam says that if you have kidneys mixed with water, you can let it sit all day long and it's not going to become chametz. So he had a Hasogas Arayvit, but it'll become chametz nukshin. So he says, well, kidneys and water becomes chametz nukshin, so we don't want to have chametz nukshin. So that's why we don't eat any, that's why we don't use kidneys. The Pashtus is that Hasogas Arayvit in our editions, the standard edition, that Hasogas Arayvit is on the May Peris. The Rambam says it makes place as big a flour with May Peris. It's not Bola de Chimus. The Rambam holds like Tesis. So the Rabbit holds like Rashi. No, but the May Peris with flour will become Chametz Nukshe. It's Mamala Hakim Chametz Nukshe. The Rabbit is Masigan, and he holds like Rashi that May Peris is maybe the day Chametz Nukshe. And not that he's Masigan kidneys. It's probably a misprint. Like the Primogodim quotes from the Hasog Zara. It's probably a misprint. There are editions. The Hasogas Arayvit is on the other Rama, not on the kidneys. But that's part of the background about the kidneys. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. I made a mistake on Sunday. I will be able to give a shiur. I just have to leave early. So maybe we made up a compromise at 9:45. Okay, whoever will be here, we'll give a shiur at 9:45. And Monday is regular time. Okay. Anybody going to Eretz Yisrael?